Let's take our Bibles and go to Psalm 43. This obviously is one of your shorter psalms. Many believe that Psalm 42 and 43 ought to go together because there is no heading at the beginning of Psalm 43. We're entering into what's called Book 2 of the Psalms, and this covers several of the up-and-coming psalms, and many of the psalms that we will look at in Book 2 are not considered to have been written by David, but by someone else. There are many who believe that you see in Psalm 42 and Psalm 44 to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, and some believe that it was the sons of Korah that wrote these psalms. They were responsible for the music in the temple, and they were descendants of Korah. You remember, if you go back and read the account of Korah and what happened there, many believe that the whole family perished. Well, if that were the case, then it's going to be hard to have some of the sons of Korah now taking care of the temple music. But nonetheless, we have this psalm, and we're going to treat it as an individual psalm. Follow along with me as I read together. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill, unto thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. We're going to take this psalm not in verse order, but some thought order. First of all, we're going to look at difficult times found in the latter part of verse number 2. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? It seems that this is a psalm written in a challenging time in the life of the psalmist. It's difficult times. The events of life cause the psalmist to feel rejected by God. Why dost thou cast me off? The idea of the psalmist going to God and God saying, go away, I don't want anything to do with you. It's a feeling that he has. Now, I know none of us have ever battled that. None of us have ever had that struggle where we felt like we were going to the Lord and it's just nothing happening. It's as though the wall has been built there. We don't know why. We look at our life, we try to figure out, what have I done? What sin is in my life that I'm not confessing? We can't find one. We try to make one up and that doesn't work. You know, there's a lot of things that we try because there's just that emotional rejection that we feel. It's not really there, but we feel that it's there. And so the psalmist says there's some difficult events taking place in his life, and one is a feeling of rejection. The second is the evil deeds of his enemies. The evil deeds of his enemies have caused him much sorrow and suffering. The evil deeds, the enemy. I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy. But we see those difficult times, he doesn't spend a lot of time there because he goes to point two, determined confidence in God. And there are times in our lives when we feel rejection. We feel like there's just the whole world's weighing heavy on us, or we feel under attack by the enemy. And we feel like, what do I do here? I just feel abandoned. I feel alone. I feel helpless. I feel like it's a lost cause. How do we deal with it? Well, he shows us what we ought to do by giving us a determined confidence in God. And these next four points are things that we can do and should do when we are feeling this rejection, when you're feeling as though our relationship with God is just not happening. We're striving, we're trying, but it just doesn't seem to connect, or whatever phrase you might use. We find in verse 1, and this is probably the toughest of all, openness with God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Openness with God. We see, first of all, He is open for God's examining his personal walk and passing a sentence on that personal walk. So what he's saying is, God, I want you to look at me and I want you to tell me what's wrong. You know, when you go to a court of law, you go there because something's wrong with you or someone and or something else. You're not in court because everything's going great. You're going there because there's a problem. And somebody sued you or you've sued someone or there's some violation of the law. And you go there and the judge looks at the case after hearing the evidence. And either the jury makes a decision or if it's a judge trial, he makes a decision based on the information that he hears and receives. And he's supposed to be impartial. And he's supposed to tell it like it is. That's what the psalmist is saying here. God, I come into your court. I want you to judge me. I want you to tell me what's going on. In his openness with God, he's asking God, secondly, to uphold and defend him in a godless world. After he's opened himself up to God, after he's listened to what God has to say to him, after he's made adjustments as God has directed, now he feels as though he can ask God for help. And so he's asking God to uphold him and defend him in a godless world. Third, he's asking God with his openness for God to deliver him from the godlessness of the world. Defend him and deliver him. Maybe there's been something in his life that has been impacted by the godlessness of the world. And God's pointed that out to him. You know, this is an area of your life that you need to look at, you need to deal with, you need to confess this, or you need to change and put up a fortress, a wall against this attack. Now he's done that. So he's asking the Lord to defend him, and he's asking the Lord to deliver him. Openness, an openness with God. Secondly, in verse 2, the first part of the verse, a personal declaration of who God really is. Verse 2, for thou art the God of my strength. You see that in point 1, point 2, he identifies who he is speaking of. Thou art the God. Of all the gods, you are God alone. And we must remember that. We're not just talking to someone with great power. We're talking to God, the sovereign God, the creator of the universe, the one whose will is always being done. He is there for us. He is there as our helper. He is there as our Father. And we must go to him and remind ourselves when we go to him to whom we really are talking. Lest when we ask him for something, we ask him half-heartedly and think maybe it might not happen or he might not be able to do it. When we go to him and ask him to change the hearts of people, we must remember that this God that we're praying to is much more powerful than the people we're praying about. And he is more than able to change the hearts of people. He's already given us testimony in his word that he controls the thinking and the hearts and the minds of the world rulers. And that wasn't just in Old Testament times, folks. That's today. We may not like what's happening in world rulers and the decisions that they're making, but they are all in the control of Almighty God. And so we want to remember that. He identifies who this God is. And then we see, third, he says he's the God of my strength. He is a stronghold, a fortress, a place of protection and deliverance. So first of all, there's that openness with God. Not hiding anything, not pretending anything, but just putting it out there and let God address who we are, where we are, what needs to be done, and then being able to ask him to bring deliverance from whatever may be the problem with our life. And then reminding ourselves and going to him and declaring to him that we are trusting in him alone because he really is God. The third thing, a desire for the truth of God in his personal life. Verse 3, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. So he's asking God for truth. That truth will be a light to him, a direction to him, that through the truth of God, he'll have that personal contact with God. He wants that personal relationship. Let thy truth lead me. Send it out. Send it to me. You know, we're not going to understand the truth of God's word unless we ask him to help us to understand it. This is a spiritual book. It's not comprehended without the Holy Spirit's interpretation. It's just not so. And therefore, we must ask Him to guide us, to direct us in the truth. We're open with Him. We're asking Him to direct us, to point out the errors, the sin in our life. We're declaring to Him that we believe in Him. We trust in Him. We're holding Him as God alone. Now we're saying, Lord, Your truth, let it be the directive of my life. He's doing all of that so that he might get past this emotional feeling of rejection from God. He's taking everything back to God, putting it all on God, that God might be the one who guides and directs him, that he might sense that very presence of the Lord. Fourth, there's a desire to worship and to praise God. In verse number 4, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. The desire to worship and to praise God. Why? First of all, because he's asked God for something in verse 1. So he wants to worship and praise God for answered prayer. He's asked God to do some things. Secondly, he wants to worship and praise God for freedom to express his inner feelings to God without fear. He comes to God and he says, Lord, thou art my God and my strength, but why have you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? I know that you're my God. I know that you're my strength, but right now I'm just not feeling it. There's something missing in this relationship. And so, God, I'm asking you to show me what's missing. Judge me, he says in verse 1. Point out to me the need of my life. Point out to me the change that needs to be made. Because obviously it's me, it's not God. And there's this void because of who I am, what's going on in my mind. But he still wants to worship and to praise God. That's a desire that he has. For answered prayer, he wants to worship him for freedom to express himself. And third, he wants to worship and praise God for personal fellowship that he is allowed to have with the Lord. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, to thy tabernacles. I want this to be personal, Lord. I want this personal one-on-one relationship with you. I'm feeling this rejection. I know it's there. I know it's just a struggle I'm going through. So, God, I'm taking steps necessary to deal with this rejection, to overcome this rejection. I'm looking to you to give me victory over this rejection that I feel. Because I know it's all in my head. It's not according to the truth of your word. When the enemy comes to you and tells you that God has rejected you or dejected you, don't believe it. Because it doesn't agree with the scripture. So there's that difficult time, there's that determined confidence in God, and third, directing one's attention back to God and away from the wickedness of the world. He goes through this cycle, this emotional battle that he has. He turns to God and looks to God to give him victory over this battle that he's facing. So after he's put himself out there for God to look at, he's acknowledged this feeling that he has. He's now looking to God for the victory and the strength. He goes back and he brings his attention back to God and those that are around him, their attention back to God. In verse 5, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? I know you feel this rejection. I know you feel that God has cast you off. But why? Why do you feel that way when you have the God that you have and the promises that he's made to you? So not only is he open with God to search him and to judge him, now he's looking at himself. He's taking a real hard look at himself in the mirror. So there's that direction. He's saying, first of all, A, why allow the evil of the world to rob us of the joy of the Lord? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? It grieves me. Some of the things that I read from Christians on Facebook. You think, how can you have that mindset when you have the God that you have? How can you feel that sense of overwhelming, being overwhelmed by the evil? Why take your mind off of God and put it on the wickedness of the world? Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your focus on God. Because the evil of this world can just drive you insane. And you can become so involved in it and so overwhelmed by it. I can't afford to listen to some of these talk radio stations because of the stuff that they talk about and how bad things are and what we need to do to fix it. But I'm yet to hear any of them go on there and just keep repeating the theme, turn to God, turn to God, turn to God. He's our only hope. He's our only solution. So we need to get this one out of office and put that one. And it's just overwhelming. And I just think, what is going on here? Why will I allow the evil and the wickedness of the world to rob me of the joy of my God and fellowship with Him? Why? And the psalmist is asking himself that same question. He's directing his attention back to God and away from the wickedness of the world. Why allow the evil of the world to rob us of the joy of God? Why art thou cast down? This phrase cast down means to be brought low, to cause to stoop over, to become discouraged. And it is easy. I battle discouragement all the time, one way or another. There's always the enemy bringing this into my mind or that into my mind and trying to discourage me and distract me. And over the last few months, my biggest struggle with discouragement has been on Sundays, just the attack of Satan. And it's easy for that to happen. And we've got to go back and go back and go back and replace our focus on God and our eyes on the Lord and remember who we belong to and the promises that He's made us. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted, he says. This is an internal agitation. And that's what happens when we become cast down. There's that internal battle going on. The Spirit of God inside of us trying to give us truth and the old nature trying to fight the truth. And there's that agitation, that battle back and forth. Well, God's not going to take care of you. God's not going to lead you. God's not going to bless. And the Spirit says, yes, He is. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And there's that agitation. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? If you've been open with God and you've asked God to judge you, and you've declared that your confidence is in Him, and you've prayed and asked Him to direct you, you've asked Him to give you light, to give you direction, to give you truth, why are you cast down? So he's really getting down to where the rubber is meeting the road. You say this, you do this, you do that, then why are you acting the way you are? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And then he says, don't allow the evil of the world to rob us of the joy. And secondly, wait on the Lord. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. So there's that waiting on the Lord. Very, very hard to do. We see under that one is hope. Hope, maintain a confident expectation. Hope thou in God. Maintain a confident expectation. Well, it's not looking very pretty right now. The clouds are out. The lightning, the thunder, the storms of life are taking place. But I just believe somehow, some way, today God's going to bring sunshine. That confident expectation. And then he says, I shall yet praise Him. Maintaining a focus on future deliverance and worship. It may be that God will not bring deliverance in this lifetime. It may be that we'll have to deal with the nasty now and now till the day we go home to be with the Lord. But we're going to go home to be with the Lord. We are going home to be with the Lord. And when we get there, this little bit of time that we spend on this earth will be very short-lived compared to eternity. It's going to get better. And we've got to remind ourselves of that. We've got to be joyful in that. We've got to look forward to the great anticipation of yet praising God. It may not be in this life where I have this final deliverance, but it's going to come. I know it's coming, and therefore I can move on. I have that hope. A better day is truly coming. So we find, third, hoping and praising our future while presently living in the nasty now and now. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. And see, focus on what one has in God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. The health of my countenance, the strength, the provider of all that we need in life. Folks, you have what you have. You are what you are because of God. If God took his hand off of your life, you would just fall into dust. Dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. We function, we live, we move, we have our being, we exist, we think, we talk, we walk, we do everything that we do, we have everything that we have because of God alone, period. It's not how smart we've been or our educational degrees. If we all of that we have or we have received because of what God has allowed. It was God that gave us the brain to go to school and study and learn and get degrees. It was God that gave us the ability to make financial decisions to give us what we have financially. It was God. It is all God. And we must remember that and remind ourselves of what we have in God. He is the health of our countenance. He's our strength, our provider of all that we need in life. And he is my God. The personal relationship we are privileged to have with the Heavenly Father. Difficult times? Sure. We face them. Determined confidence in God? We have to have it. Determined. I am determined to have confidence in God. And then do what we have to do to have that confidence. And then directing our attention back to God and away from the wickedness of the world. Listen, the world is going to become more wicked. Read your Bible. I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist. I know what the Bible teaches. But even in the midst of the world getting worse and worse all the time, I still have God. I still have this one who loves me and gave himself for me. I still have this one who guides and directs my life. I still have this one who wants to lead me and give me his truth that I might live in a godless world, living a godly life. And I have all that because of what he has done. He has offered the package deal. He is the one that maintains it. He's the one that guides it. And he's never, ever going to take it away. So we redirect our thinking back to God and away from wickedness. This is a good prescription for dealing with life, a good biblical prescription. May God help us to take the medicine that he has prescribed. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for these powerful five verses and the truth that is revealed in them. Thank you for giving it to me that I could give it to others. Help me to live by it, Lord. Help me to trust in you. Help me to believe in my God and walk daily in your strength and in your power and in your wisdom. Help me to look to you and take my eyes off of the wickedness of this world and the difficulties of life. Help me to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Help me not to lean unto my own understanding. Help me in all of my ways to acknowledge you and know that you will direct my path. What I pray for myself, I pray for everyone that's here this evening. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.